the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Time has rolled around for another Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with co-host
Eric Updike.
And we cheated on this one. You said you didn't want to go in blind. So what number episode are we on?
We're on 40.
Yeah.
We're over the hill.
4-0. So is that about midlife crisis time?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know what my midlife crisis is going to be. I could be a sports car guy. I'm into sports cars.
I'm proud of you.
I've never had one, but I could see myself getting like some. It's got to be something real classy though. Like not something lame like a Lambo. What about? Do they still make Dodge Vipers? Is that still a thing?
You know, I don't know if they still make them, but those are cool.
Yeah,
you want a classic car though, bud. Chevelles, ooh, Novas, or Camaros.
Your classic American muscle. Been watching too much Fast and the Furious in your house.
Hey, well.
You watch that franchise, Fast and the Furious?
Well, I don't, but my wife does, so there's that.
How many of them would you say you've seen, like, the full movie of? Any of them?
All of them, probably.
Oh, 13. Man, all of them?
Well, you know what? I take that back. How many of them did I stay awake to? Probably maybe the second one.
Oh, jeez. I don't even know how many. Didn't they get, like, 8 or 9 of them suckers by the time they were done?
There's way more than that.
Are they double digits in them?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep, no, I don't really watch that. I fall asleep to them a lot, though.
Man, yeah, my last Fast and the Furious watch, I didn't even see the whole thing. Tokyo Drift would have been most recent one I saw. A hot minute. And for me, it's really the soundtrack to that one that gets me. I wonder if you know that song, you know? Know that if in Tokyo. I'm not even going to do any more of that. I know you're just going to say how long I was going to go there.
I didn't realize I was getting a live performance today. You know, they're making a new one, but we should probably get off of talking about Fast and Furious because it's putting me to sleep.
Boy, are they going to have to AI some actors?
Yeah, they are going to AI.
No way. Walker. Actually, yeah. That's a real thing.
Swear to God.
Okay, well, there's your Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show movie talk for the days where you don't go outdoors and you need something to do inside, I guess.
Yep.
I haven't watched those in a while. But maybe it is better to talk about movies because I can't say that I've got good news from the outdoors.
But hey, no news is sometimes good news, but not when it comes to hunting and fishing. That's can be the problem. But you know, we have been out.
That's why I keep you around, because you always find that old silver lining, you know. We didn't leave the field disabled or anything. Nobody hurt themselves. So.
And you can't say we haven't been having a good time.
Yeah, that's it was debatable last time I went out. Well, I mean, it was fun. Like, we'll get there. I'll get there. My last trip was debatable.
I don't know that I've ever gone on a hunt and came home completely empty-handed, because you always come home with a memory of some kind, and that's worth more than the kill.
This is exactly why we keep you as the old co-host of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, because I just don't have that perspective.
I thought it was because of my cheap wages.
I thought you were going to say something like, that too. Yeah, the F-R-E-E, that spells free labor, baby, but yeah. But I thought you were going to say, even though sometimes you come home with empty hands, you come home with a full heart.
But, you know, that touched me.
Yeah, and well, but for you, it's a little better. I mean, you've been taken, right? At least a couple of times you've taken a kid out, or at least one or two kids with
you.
Absolutely,
so. That's most important.
And mine's not quite there yet.
Nope. So gotta get out of diapers first.
Yeah, so I don't have that bringing the memories with them home. I mean, I did have some fun. Like my last trip out, I guess I could just jump into it. The old last trip, I walked across that type 1 block management I was talking about, big old swath of land. And I guess the fun part there was I had never, like you always see in the old glorified hunting shows when they're glassing for deer, sometimes they'll have their deer or elk even be spooked off by like a coyote, you know? So while I was glassing on the side of a hill, I found a coyote and I watched him go about his business for a hot minute. And that's the first time in my life I'd ever, you know, caught a coyote on the glass from far away, to where he had no idea that I was also there, and I just watched him go about his business like it was a G-Day nature documentary. And I thought, I was like, you know what? In the hunting shows, there's always some kind of big game around when a yote's around. So, yeah. And it turned out that was still true, because about 5 minutes after I first spotted that coyote, I found a couple of deer, but they were does and ended up not going after them. So.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of a similar thing happened to us the other day. We were watching, there's just seven does, muley does, and we were just sitting there watching, seeing if maybe there's a buck in there. All of a sudden, we see a coyote just run right through him.
Oh, really?
Spooked him off and was chasing him around. It was pretty entertaining. The kids got a kick out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Did they all scatter or, like, stick together?
No, they scattered.
Wow, that's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And the one that I saw, his coat looked pretty good. If I was the type of guy that was taking coyote pelts, I would figure that would be the type of one I'd be liking to see through the old binoculars.
Yeah, for
sure. It was all floofy and good looking coyote out there.
Before I forget to tell you, though, so far this year I've seen the biggest rack I've ever seen, though.
I don't know where this is going.
Do you want to know what it was on?
Do I?
It was on a Dodge pickup with Minnesota plates.
Oh, of course it was. Yep. Headed back to the Twin Cities.
Yeah, had the old topper with the rack on top. But I tell you what, it stuck up a mile. I was like, geez, bud, what are you going to haul on that? Some pipe?
Well, so I'm sensing a tinge of, I don't know if aggravation is the right word, a tinge of tenseness about out-of-state hunters.
There's a lot of them this year, you know, and I've done a little investigating on it, but a lot, your typical, you know, you got Minnesota and Oregon and whatnot, but the new contender this year that I'm really seeing is a lot of North Dakota plates, a lot.
You know, I did see a couple of blaze orange wearing North Dakotans just today myself.
Did a little investigating, calling some old locals and some old buddies and whatnot, and kind of what they've been explaining is it's so hard to get a mule deer buck tag in the Badlands in North Dakota side that they've all decided to start buying them over on this side. And guess what? We're the first county on this side of the state line. So sure, bam!
Are. Right there. Yeah, that's a good point.
We saw more out-of-state hunters than we did deer, so that's always promising.
Yeah.
You're looking to tag an out-of-stater.
Yeah, my antelope grounds, the last two weekends that I went out for antelope was the same deal. The second weekend wasn't as bad, but the first weekend that I went down south, down El Zeta way, I think that's safe to say, but boy, was there a lot of folks down yonder. Now, the ones that I spoke to were from Bozeman, so in-state fellers, but
We consider Bozeman out of state.
Okay, that's fair. But they were saying that they knew a group of people also from Bozeman who had come that weekend prior, so the opening weekend of antelope, and they knew personally, they claimed, a group of people that killed half a dozen antelope in that one area. So that just kind of kills a guy's ambition or like drive to go out and try it again another day when you hear that kind of numbers being taken out. And then when I went back the second weekend to the same area, there were, I mean, visibly less hunters, but man, I drove past a couple places on a type 1 block management spot where they had cleaned the antelope and just left like what was remaining of the carcass, like right at the corner post of the land. I saw that in three different places. One place had two antelope carcass. Well, two of them had a pair of them, and then one had one. And I don't know. It just came across to me as kind of tacky, like leaving it right there at the corner of the road, right at the corner post, like right where everybody's crossing the cattle guard to come in and out. And I don't know, I just thought that was a little.
And they wonder why hunters get a bad reputation.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good example of something that you don't think about. Like we all talk about blocking gates or not having the right permission or just being a general bonehead, but you don't think of like the after, like the other stuff, like. Like, yeah, sure, clean up your trash at your campsite and stuff, but also be cognizant of where you're leaving the carcass.
Yeah, be respectful. You know, some people aren't into the hunting, and we need to also respect their weird viewpoint. You know, let's not go to the bar right after we shoot one with it hanging out our tailgate and covered in blood and be a meathead. You know, don't do that. You're representing all of us hunters, and you're giving us a bad rep doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I can get behind that as well. But yeah, that's been my story of, I've been mostly sticking with antelope, and that one just got frustrating to me where after spending two weekends and a couple full tanks of gas, just driving around looking at stuff. And I mean, I found antelope. I will say they still exist out there, but boy, do they, it's so cliche to say, but boy, do they sure seem like they know the lines where they're safe and where they're not, because the only ones that I caught that were semi shootable were running right across some state land and right over into private, and I tried my darndest to cut them off, but I didn't get it done. I didn't get 500 yards was about the closest I could get, and I'm just not sniper enough to pull that off. I got to be within about, I think my max is maybe 250. So five hundo was a little much, and I didn't get that done. And then Bozeman boys rolled up in their truck and kind of spooked them and hosed me a little bit. But
yeah, for sure.
And then yeah, the last weekend, like I said, I walked a bunch, and since deer was open, I went to a spot where I thought I'd have a shot at both deer and antelope, but nope, just saw the does.
Yeah, they're probably one of the smartest dumb animals there are. Yeah. Do you know, Blake, that brings me to another point, though. You can do a little decoying.
You know, that's something I don't think of. I just always think of that world as being involved with archery.
Well, for sure, but I have seen it done, and I've done it myself, where you get something white. Like, I can remember having, like, a white towel, and I'm not even kidding, walked right straight towards them. I wasn't hunting, but I had that white towel, and I walked right straight towards them, and they just sat there and looked at it.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I mean, I think I might have had a chance before that truck pulled up on that day, because there was three specifically that I hadn't, that were still on the state land. All the rest had crossed the fence, and these three were like stragglers. But the one buck of the group was, I mean, he wasn't huge, but he'd like run around in a little circle and stop and look at me like he couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And I think if the other truck hadn't pulled up fairly close, I think I would have been able to sneak at least a little closer. I don't know if I would have gotten within 250, but it would have been interesting to see without any kind of outside influence.
Yeah.
But alas, not the case.
Yeah. What do we got? Two more weekends antelope hunting, right?
Yep, exactly.
So we got some time.
Yeah, a little bit. It's running out, and we're going to have a time change in between now and then. So, you know, I've been romanticizing about having an evening hunt, like getting done with work and going out, and those times are going to be quickly over here this next Sunday, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so with that fall back coming up, yeah, that is going to ruin the evening hunt. So it just kind of makes you feel like you have even less time.
Yeah, days get pretty short around here this time of the year, that's for certain.
And now that I've exhausted all my like spots, like my plans A's, B's, and C's, now I'm just fully on Hail Mary mode. And so it's just kind of like, man, just again, back to the driving. And that's why it felt nice to have the deer tag Saturday, is I went to a place where I just parked and walked a bunch. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Any time that I can just walk, it just makes me feel way better about my chances. So like I walked way in the back, as they say, to that piece of land way far away from the truck. And it sucks when you got to turn around and you know how far the walk back to the truck is, and you know there's nothing between you and the truck to keep that excitement built over every ridge. But when you're walking in, that just keeps my fire lit a little better.
Well, for sure, and you always have the mindset that you can outwalk hunters.
But, exactly.
But you're absolutely right. You get back there and it's like, oh man, I got to walk all the way out of here.
Like I saw one of those does this last weekend, those muley does, and technically, you know, I was on type one, so on private land, and so I technically could have, if I had wanted to, a guy could have filled a doe tag. Technically, you're looking funny, but technically, isn't that private land?
Yeah, but I don't know if block management falls into that category.
Boy, we might have to phone Oliver, but I'm pretty sure that block management counts as private land. I'm pretty sure.
I'd have to check on that, but I darn sure wouldn't shoot a muley doe
opening weekend. Exactly. And I heard that in my head. While I was looking at her through the old binocs from pretty short distance away, she was just standing in some trees fairly close to me, and I heard in my head, I heard your voice specifically say, yeah, I wouldn't do that, especially not on opening weekend.
Good.
And then after I heard that, my head voice said, and I don't want to walk that thing the couple miles back to the truck that we are currently. So, well, a couple and a half miles. So, yeah, I passed that up pretty quickly.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm growing.
Now, I will tell you, though, if you see a cow elk right out of the gate opening weekend, boom, pow. Deer is different, though.
Yeah. I don't even know where I'd find a cow elk these days. Like, if I was hard-pressed, somebody told me to go out tomorrow and find them one in this vicinity, boy, would I be hosed.
Yeah. Darn things are sneaky.
Yeah, so I don't know what my plan is. But I have been kind of itching to go out after birds. But hearing everybody continue to sing the blues, and after that long walk that I had through fairly birdie country this weekend and only kicked up maybe six grouse, boy, does that make it difficult for a guy to want to get up and get out. Well, I did see one pheasant. I guess I got to say I did see one cock pheasant out there when that coyote was roaming around. There was a pheasant that jumped out of a tree, oddly enough, in front of the coyote. But other than that was all the upland birds I saw on my adventures. So that makes it hard to be driven to take away from my time and looking for antelope and deer to go for birds when I know it's not going to be that great.
Absolutely. It's going to be a rough year, but We'll hang in there.
I'm trying not to sound depressing, but I'm in full-on sad hunter mode at this point. It's getting late enough in the season that I'm feeling bad for myself.
Bad day hunting, still better than a good day at work.
See, again, that's why I keep you co-hosted. It keeps me feeling all
right. And right around the corner, we got ice fishing. I already bought my tickets for the Devil's Lake ice fishing
tournament. Dang, I didn't even think about that.
I should take that back. I haven't bought them. I still got to pay my cousin, but he has them in possession with my name on them.
So. Oh, man.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's not good. What month was that again?
I think it's January, but don't quote me.
Boy, I have a hard time planning anything past a couple months out, but yeah. It's especially hard because that's basketball season. So
yeah.
But yeah, ice fishing in no time here. Colder temperatures moving in on us. And
they are.
That'll be good.
And that'll start changing some of the behavior of the animals, so that'll be good.
Yep.
And I did talk to a guy today that started talking. He said that the antelope are already starting to lose their horns for the year. I was kind of surprised about that. That's a little early, but...
Dang. I mean, I feel like being a big antelope or pronghorn noob, somebody that's not quite as intelligent about them, I would say that this last weekend going out, I noticed the ones that I saw hanging out on private land were all way more grouped up than I'd been seeing recently. Maybe I'm just talking nonsense, but I think if that's a thing, they start grouping up, I think it's happening.
Yeah, could be.
I have no idea. But it looks to me that the groups are larger. They're just not on the side of the fence I need them to be on.
Dang it anyway. And they know that, I swear it.
Yeah, unfortunately, as cliche as it sounds, it definitely seems like that's been my case. I just drive past them and they just lay there looking at me like, I'm untouchable.
That's right. I think they've had plenty of opportunity to outrun bullets this year because there's a lot of hunters out there.
A lot of blaze orange running across the plains.
Yeah, there is.
So what's your plan here? So this coming weekend, I'm going to be at playoff football, but this coming weekend, yeah, you getting after it?
Well, I think probably what I'll do is go to work so I don't get fired.
Dang it.
But if I wasn't working, I'd be out.
Okay.
It's my weekend to work, but next weekend, you look out.
The last weekend.
Last weekend, I'm going to get after it.
Anyways.
I put in to be off for a hitch, so I should be off for 3 weeks for hunting season, but we'll see if I get it.
Oh, dang. Are you going to make any big trips this year? I know you said you weren't doing the elk trip. Would you, if it gets later in the deer season, what's the farthest you'll make a trip?
I'm not planning on any big trips. The only thing I'm going to be doing that I got planned is that Devil's Lake Ice Fishing Tournament, and I've been kicking around maybe a weekend North Dakota pheasant hunt so I can be that pain in the ass out of stater.
Boy, you gotta take out a loan for that.
Yeah, you do.
And they've got weird days. It's been a little while since last bird season that I looked it up, so I don't remember how the weird day breakdown works, but it's not like you can just pop over there and grab a single day and easy peasy lemon squeezy.
No,
maybe
I think
it is now, but
I think it's a 1 week pass or 2 week pass, something like that.
Yeah, I want to say there's a 3 day option or something like that.
God, but I don't think so. I think you're wrong on that one.
Oh, see, I could be. So see, I don't even know. I just know that it's cost you an arm and a leg for an out of state feller to go bird hunt over yonder.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of birds over there.
There are.
Have I ever told you my theory as to why they have more than us?
Because all them out-of-stater North Dakotas are over here shooting our peasants?
I think that I'm trying to say that the land difference that I see, to my eye most prominently, there's so much less broken cover on that side of the border. I don't know what it is, but when you drive from here to Dickinson, like on the edges of fields and stuff alongside the road, there's just way thicker cover, and it's way more continuous than here. It gets all broken up, and it's all... like really mowed and really grazed here, or just the plains dirt is just straight up bare, and I just feel like there's a lot more broken patches of ground and cover here for upland birds than there are just right over the border. I don't know.
And that's for sure. And a lot of the farmers around here hay the drainages and everything like that, so there's not a lot of cover. You're absolutely right. I have noticed that.
So that's my theory, anyways. I don't know how much of that is contributing to the difference in bird numbers, but I think that's especially in the Dickinson area. I just feel like when I go visit my family over there in that area, boy, you see them standing out in the fields like nobody's business, and that's just not the case here.
No, and I think you're absolutely right. It's just the cover.
So, yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we're working on projects around Baker and Fallon County through Pheasants Forever. Hopefully we can improve our habitat and maybe we can get our numbers up, but I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, hopefully in the long run, in the development stages there, that'll be hopefully a future project that comes to a lot of fruition.
Couldn't make it any worse.
Nope, yeah, good point. And I think that's about all I know this evening. Do you know anything exciting from the outdoor world lately?
I do not.
Yeah, me neither. I don't even have any good fishing reports or anything lately. I think salmon snagging's got to be coming pretty much to a close here up at Fort Peck. I saw... Yeah, it's been a week or so yet since I saw some pictures of folks snagging up there, so that's got to be coming to an end soon, and yeah, it's going to definitely be the end of the fall fishing season here soon, and just waiting for the freeze.
That's right.
Got the old augers ready to go.
Good.
New drill. Got a new one. I burned the last one out.
Oh, you got a new one?
I didn't ever tell you that? I got to shout out my parents on that one. They gave me a new DeWalt for my birthday, but since I burnt the last one out, it made it through... three seasons of drilling lots of ice holes. Probably not enough seasons, but here we go again. Try her again. Hopefully another three seasons will last of that brushless drill.
Oh, yeah, he'll be good.
All right. Well, here's your last chance. Anything else for episode 40 from you there, Mr. Updike?
I got nothing.
All right, me neither. This has been episode 40 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. If you've still got tags to fill, may the force be with you, as they say in that Starship movie. And if you filled your tag, you're a better hunter than I, or you just have access to a lot better private land.
Or either got deeper pockets.
Either way, congratulations, my friends, and we'll catch you here in a couple weeks. Maybe we'll have a success story. Maybe I'll be even sadder. Tune in a couple weeks to find out on episode 41 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Even though it's episode 40.
No, but next time will be 41. Okay. I'm saying you got to tune into that one to find out.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to put the Benny Hill theme at the end of this one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right. Good night.